hand one more time. Glory, 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 glory. Let's go ahead and get right into the message. As I said last week, we veered off into something totally different for the moment to hear what the Lord would want to speak to us. But let's get back into the message because God has been and is speaking to us through this entire book of this study through the book of Ephesians. Last time I was with you in chapter 4, there was a strong exhortation and even an admonition from the Apostle Paul given to the believers in the church at Ephesus to continue on in their spiritual growth or to grow up spiritually. Now remember, when one gives their life to Christ, they begin a spiritual journey of what we call maturation. Maturation is basically the process of growth. And so when you give your life to Christ, you start this journey of spiritual development, even emotional development as well. Just because one gives their life to Christ at the age of 20, 25, 30, 40, 60, doesn't equate spiritual growth. Chronological age has nothing to do with spiritual age or spiritual growth. And so Paul is exhorting them to continue on in their spiritual growth, and he's even admonishes them to not be children any longer in verse 14 of chapter 4. He says that we should no longer be children. Now, he's not talking about natural age. He's talking about, or spirit, he's not talking about natural. He's talking about spiritually. No longer be children who are tossed to and fro and carried about on every wind of doctrine, so on and so forth. The word children doesn't mean toddler, it really means baby. So he's speaking to some believers who ought to be further along in their spiritual development, but yet they're stuck. They're still basically babies in Christ. When we get to verse 17 and 19, he continues his thoughts, an exhortation about growing up spiritually. Look what he says, verse 17 through 19. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. They have no sense of shame. They have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Now, as we mentioned in these verses, Paul is continuing his thoughts about growing up. And he tells those who are acting like baby Christians, again, they should be further along in the maturation process of spiritual development. He tells them basically to stop it now. Stop walking like the Gentiles do. The word Gentiles basically means heathen. He's talking about those who don't have the Spirit of God inside of them. He's talking about those who aren't Christians, those who haven't had their sins forgiven, those who don't have eternal life, those who don't have a relationship with God. And he tells them in these verses, basically, stop it and don't act like one who does not know Christ. So again, this shows me very clearly that believers can act just like unbelievers. Hello, is anybody out there? Come on now. Believers can act just like unbelievers. And so here Paul is basically telling these believers that they are carnal. When one is carnal, the word carnal means flesh or fleshly or flesh inspired or flesh ruled. The word carnal speaks to not a baby Christian, but a Christian who ought to be more spiritually mature and emotionally whole, but they still act like baby believers. Those Christians are carnal. So Paul is talking to to a group of people who are carnal, and they are still acting like an unbeliever would act. That's basically what he's saying. So to be carnal is to be flesh-ruled. It doesn't necessarily mean flesh the body, but the impulses, the cravings, the desires of the flesh. That's what it means to be carnal, to yield, and to constantly live under the cravings and impulses of the flesh, like the Gentiles. The Gentiles have no other choice. They don't have the Spirit of God on the inside of them. They don't have a new nature on the inside of them. Their only option is to yield to the flesh. They live life out of the flesh. You and I are different. We all have the potential to live life out of the Spirit. We have the potential to grow and to mature in our relationship with God. We have the potential to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. As we get into our process with God and we allow God to shape us and mold us and heal us and deliver us and transform us, we can begin to yield, not to the flesh like the Gentiles, but to the Spirit. The Spirit is superior to the flesh. We can yield to the Spirit and not the flesh in any given situation. But we have to understand that this is a process. We can't think for a moment that once we give our life to Christ and our sins are forgiven, that we're automatically, bam, boom, going to be spiritually mature. It does not happen like that. There is a process of maturation. It's the process of spiritual growth. We cannot be confused about this. Just because you give your heart to Christ doesn't mean you're not going to have problems with the flesh. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have a war going on in the inside of you. And that's what happens. You will always deal with the battle between flesh and spirit. The flesh does not disappear when you become a Christian, when you become a lover of God, when you have a desire for God's word, when you serve in Christian ministry, when you begin to move in the gifts of the Spirit. Your flesh doesn't disappear. You will have your flesh with you until your body is fully glorified, until you stand face to face with Jesus. You will have your flesh. Paul is talking to believers who are Christians who are living out of their flesh. And they look like and act like Gentiles who don't have the Spirit of God. But we will always battle with the tendencies, the impulses, and the cravings of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 and 17. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh.
Tendencies.
For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. So you could see two opposing forces wanting to go in different directions, the Spirit and the flesh. Then he says, for these are constantly fighting each other. So Paul is basically saying there is a war that's going on, a war between the flesh and the Spirit. Your flesh wants to be in control all the time. As soon as your eyes wake up in the morning, your flesh has cravings and impulses and desires. It wants to be in control. Your spirit, the problem is that we feed our flesh more than we feed our spirit. The problem is we give attention more to our flesh than we do to our spirit. And so we cause the flesh to become stronger than the spirit. We should at least give as much attention to our spirit as we do to our flesh. Hello? And so Paul is saying that the two are opposing, the two are contradicting, the two are battling amongst each other, flesh and spirit. The two are warring against each other. Then he ends it by saying, to keep you from doing the things you want to do, or the things you know you're supposed to do, or the things that you should do that are honorable to God. And so there is this war. The bottom line is, I have to grow. The bottom line is, if I don't grow, I become carnal. I become ruled by the flesh. And it seems as if there would be no distinction between me and one that is cut off from God. How many of you know there should be a clear distinction between the spirit man, the one who has the Spirit of God, and the one who doesn't have the Spirit of God? Come on now. Let's get real for a second. There should be a clear distinction between the saved and the unsaved. I mean, as light is distinct from darkness, it should be the distinction between the believer and the unbeliever. And that's what Paul's saying. He's insisting in the Lord that they do not live their life and act like the Gentiles do that don't have the Spirit. And so we could see that he's talking to believers that are stuck, believers who are complacent, believers who are lukewarm, believers who really don't have a passion to grow and become intimate with God and get healed and delivered and be sanctified and grow and mature and be emotionally sound and grow up spiritually. He's talking to those believers. He's saying there's no distinction. When we get to chapter 5 next week, he's going to bring this back up again because that's how important it is. In fact, I want to read to you what he says in chapter 5 because it goes right in line with what he's saying here. I insist in the Lord that you don't walk as other Gentiles walk. Look what he says in chapter 5. Where am I? Oh, got it. Ephesians 5. Okay, here it is. Here's what he says. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Now, what's interesting here is he doesn't say you once lived in darkness, but now you're living in the light. He doesn't say that. He says you were once darkness, but now you are light. Do you see this? Right off the bat in Ephesians 5, he's bringing this thing right back around again. He's talking about the contrast and the distinction between darkness and light. When he says to them, you once were darkness, but now you're light, he's talking about you once were Gentiles without the Spirit. You once were an unbeliever cut off from the life of God, but now you're not. Now you're light in the Lord. So he starts off by showing you this stark contrast between the unbeliever and the believer. But look what he says. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. And then he says in verse 10, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Now hold off, don't read the rest of it. Here he's basically saying, don't take part in the worthless deeds and in the evil of darkness or people of the darkness. Let me just tell you what he's not saying. He's not saying don't be friends with unbelievers. Come on now. He's not saying don't rub shoulders with unbelievers. He's not saying don't have a relationship with an unbeliever. My God, how would we ever reach the world if we were to disconnect from the world and not love them and not interact with them and not engage with them? He is not saying that. He is talking about within your friendships and relationships with those in the world that don't know Christ, you have to know that there is a line that is drawn in the sand that you will not cross over. And it has to do with an evil deed or evil works or something that violates the nature or the law of God or a plan of God, something that would be considered sin or detrimental. We have to know that we will not cross the line. For us to reach somebody, we can reach them without crossing that line. and participating in the evil deeds and works of darkness. Do you understand what he's saying here? And so let me read it again. He says, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, he says, expose them. Now, how do you expose those deeds of darkness? This is how you expose them. Does it mean that you're supposed to be pointing the finger at them and telling them, that's sin. You shouldn't do things like that. That's not holy. That's not righteous. God doesn't like that. Come on now. You really want to drive people away from you? That is the most religious thing in the world. You don't treat a sinner like that. You don't treat somebody who doesn't know Christ like that. When he talks about exposing the deeds, he's talking about not crossing over that line. In your lifestyle, in your manner of living, in your conversation, will expose the works of darkness. That's enough right there. That's how you expose it, by just letting your light shine. Letting your light shine. And there are reasons. They ask you why you're not stepping over the line. You have an opportunity to share with them why you're not stepping over the line. But when you don't step over the line, the light exposes the darkness. Everything that is exposed, look what it says at the end here. It says this, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Now look what he says in the next verse. We're still in Ephesians 5. Therefore, because of this, because there should be a stark distinction between darkness and light, between the believer and the unbeliever, because of this, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. He's saying, wake up, you who sleep. Wake up, thou who sleepest. Who is he talking about? Who's sleeping in this text? He's talking about dead people. Somebody's sleeping among the dead people. Hello now. Somebody's sleeping among the dead. He's talking about dead people and sleepers. Let me tell you who the sleepers are. The sleepers are the carnal Christians. The sleepers are those who make no distinction between their life and the life of one who doesn't have the Spirit of God. The sleeper is one who lives just like the Gentiles. There's no separation. There's no distinction. Nobody around you knows that you have a different value system, different morals, that you serve the living God. There's no distinction. And so Paul, after he talks about this, he says, wake up! Wake up. Remember last Sunday? I got in this wake up thing. I think I was waking up the pioneering spirit, right? And I was saying, wake up! Wake up, pioneering spirit! And I was getting aggressive, wasn't I? Wake up! Something came over me. Wake up! And I know what Paul's tone is right here. I know what his tone is as he is writing this. It's aggressive. He's saying, wake up thou that sleepest! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! They're sleeping among the dead. Can you imagine? Let me get a little bit morbid here for you. Imagine filling this pit here down here. All the way around with dead bodies. Okay? Just let your mind go there for a second. It's okay. We'll sanctify it in a second. All dead bodies. They're dead bodies. And among the dead bodies, there are some that aren't dead. But they're sleeping. But they look dead. But if you were to go real close and you were to check, you might feel a little breath, a little pulse. But you would never know from here, from a distance. They all look the same. That's what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. So he's saying to the ones that are sleeping and look just like the lost, he's saying to them, no, this ain't right. I insist in the Lord. Wake up! Wake up! Wake up, thou that sleepest, and rise from among the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Going into 2018, listen, it's going to be serious business. God's people are going to wake up. God's people are going to get unstuck. God's people are going to grow spiritually. God's people are going to get delivered. God's people are going to grow emotionally. God's people are going to be whole emotionally. God's people, it's time to wake up. It's time to progress. It's time to move forward in your spiritual maturation, your development. It's time to grow. No more excuses in 2018. This is why this is prophetic. This whole book is prophetic. The whole book of Acts was prophetic. It was a now word. It was a word for the moment. It was a word for now. God is speaking to you. He's speaking to me. He's speaking to the body of Christ right now through this exhortation. He's telling us to grow up. He's telling us to mature. He's telling us to get moving. He's telling us to be more intimate with God. He's telling us to break off those things that are holding you back. He's telling you stop living like the world lives, those who have no spirit. He's telling us to become emotionally whole. Get into the process. It's time to move on. It's time to grow. It's time to mature. It's time to wake up and stop living among the dead. Christ wants your light to beam. He wants your light to shine. He wants your light to shine so much that it exposes the evil works of darkness in your world. Wake up. It's prophetic. Verse 22. But this is not what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him. Look what he says there in verse 22. You haven't learned this from Jesus. You know better than this. That's what he's basically saying. You know better than this. You know better than this to just be a carnal believer when you should be further along in your Christian development. You know better than this. To sleep among the dead. You know better than this to walk just like the Gentiles walk who don't have the Spirit of God. Look what he says here. He says this. He says, but this is not what you've learned about Christ since you have heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from him. Verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now, look what he says here in verse 22. He says, put off something, your old man. Put it off. That word put it off, or that phrase, means to take something off like a piece of clothing, or like a cloak, or like a jacket. If I were to unzip this and take it off, I would be putting off my jacket. That's literally what it means. So he's telling us here that we've got to put off something. We've got to put off from us the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So the old man speaks about your former lifestyle, your former way of living, your former way of thinking, your former value system. Your old man speaks about the old you. So you know what that's telling me? If Paul is speaking to believers who are spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers, moving in the gifts of the Spirit, and he's telling them believers to put off the old man, you know what that tells me? You could be a believer and still be wearing the old man. Just because we speak in tongues doesn't mean we're not wearing the old man. And so he says here, we've got to put off the old man. There's other references in Scripture to the old man. I'll give them to you real quick. Romans chapter 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. There it is again. That the body of sin might be done away with. Might, notice. That we should. Come on, somebody say might. Somebody say should. Come on now. That we should no longer be slaves in sin. So it's talking about the old man was crucified, but we could still be wearing the old man. Oh, come on now. We resurrect that old man every day. Resurrect, we put that, that's the cloak we put on in the morning. We put the old man cloak on. We come to church, we try to take the old man cloak off, and we put on a new cloak in the church. Can leave church, take the old new cloak off, put the old man back on. And so he says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, don't lie to one another since you have put off the old man and his deeds. So both of these references are speaking about the old man, speaking about the old you. As a Christian, the old you. Your old lifestyle, your old way of thinking, your old way of running, your old way of doing things. And so, again, we have many believers who are saved but wearing the old man. So Let's look at the next verse. We're going to skip the next verse, actually. That was verse 22. Let's skip 23 and go to 24. And there's a reason why I'm doing this. I'll share it with you in a moment. 22 says, take off the old man. Take it off like a cloak. When we get to verse 24, look what he says. And put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So verse 22, take off the old man. Verse 24, put on the new man. What's the new man? The new man speaks about the new life that emanates out of your born again spirit. And from the nature of God that's on the inside, the life of God inside of you. That's the new man we're supposed to be putting on. And by the way, a cloak is something that is seen by outsiders, right? People should know that we are Christians. They should know. They should know by our light. They should know by our conversation. They should know by the way we live. Why? Because the cloak is to be seen. And so, again, verse 22, take off something. Verse 24, put on something. So verse 22, the old man speaks about the flesh. In verse 24, the new man speaks about the spirit. See, Paul is still talking about how to walk in the spirit. You can't walk in the spirit wearing the old man. You can't grow and mature, you know, in your process by never taking off the old man. And so verse 22 talks about flesh. Verse 24 talks about spirit. And then the important verse that I left out was the meat. It was the middle verse. It's like a sandwich. You got the old man and the new man, and in between is the key. Look what it says in verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 23 is the key to putting off the old man and putting on the new man. It's the key to walking in the spirit. It's the key to spiritual development. It's the key to emotional wholeness. It's the key to being transformed. Right there. That verse right there. That verse. Sometimes we read these things and we think, okay, I'm going to go through the motions. I get up today and I'm just like, you know, putting on the full armor of God. Okay, well, here I go. Here, I'm taking off the old man in the name of Jesus. Oh, let me get my cloak. Okay, I'm putting on the new man in the name of Jesus. No, it's deeper than that. You can't just go through the motions. You got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And he's talking again about how to walk in the spirit, how to grow up and mature spiritually and emotionally. He's talking about moving on in the things of God. You can't do it unless your mind is renewed. And when he says be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's not even talking about your spirit. He's talking about an attitude of the mind. He's talking about a mindset. In fact, if you read it in the Amplified Bible, read it really quick. Look at it. And be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, unstrained mental and spiritual attitude. So if I want to grow spiritually and live according to the dictates of the spirit and not the flesh, if I really want to walk in the spirit, I've got to start changing something. If I'm going to change my cloak, it's going to start with changing my mind. I've got to change my mind. I've got to renew my mind. My mind has to change. And so in 2018, I do believe that this is going to be a year of the renewal of the mind. We're going to get some things right here, up here in this squirrely mind of ours, in that organ between our two ears, because this is really where the problem is for the believers. It's right here in the mind. Whether you walk in the spirit or not is determined by what goes on in your mind, in your thoughts. You cannot even grow up spiritually unless your mind is renewed. You can't. You can't be transformed. In fact, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I think we have it. It says, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. See, we've been praying for transformation, and God just doesn't bring it because we pray for it. We've got to do something. We've got to change our mind. We've got to renew our mind. Transformation and change comes from the renewing of the mind. Taking off the old man and putting on the new man, it's a process. It comes from the renewing of the mind. Just praying isn't enough. Just having people pray for you is not enough. Coming to the altar, having somebody lay their hands on you isn't enough. Praying in tongues isn't enough. Prophesying isn't enough. Engaging in Christian ministry isn't enough. I gotta do something with my crazy thinking. I must be committed to changing my mind. I've got to change my thoughts. You know, it has a lot to do with repentance. Taking off the old man, putting on the new, has something to do with repentance. Walking in the Spirit has something to do with repentance. Growing up spiritually has something to do with repentance. Transformation has something to do with repentance. Because here's what repentance is, and we usually don't teach the whole thing. We say that repentance is turning in the opposite direction. But let me tell you where repentance starts. It starts right here. Repentance really starts out and means a change of thought, a change of thinking. In fact, you can't even repent and turn and go in the next direction unless your thoughts change first. The thoughts have to change. Repentance is the changing of thoughts. And once the thoughts begin to change and align to the Word of God, by the way, there is no renewing of the mind outside of God's Word. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways are higher than your ways. It's not God's mind that's messed up. It's my mind that's messed up. I've got to take God's thoughts and let it wash my brain. You know what? I believe 2018 is going to be a year of brainwashing. How about that? How about that? Brainwash. Them Christians are brainwashed. You better believe it. Scrubbed, washed in the Word and in the blood of Jesus. Thank God. Change my mind, God. Yeah, we need brainwashed this year in 2018. But once the mind changes and the thoughts align up into God's Word, in alignment with God's Word, everything else begins to change. I begin to take off the old man and put on the new. I begin to enter into a time and process of restoration by the renewing of my mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I begin to get unstuck and begin to progress in the process of maturation, spiritual development and growth. I begin to give God access to my emotions and my spirit to bring deeper healing, transformation into my life. Everything begins with changing the mind. And so I'll read it to you again. I think we're going to end here, but let me just read it again. It says this. It says, put off the old man concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put off concerning, be renewed in the spirit of mind and put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and in holiness. I had a lot more to teach, but we're going to end it here. We'll pick it up the next time I'm with you. I want everybody to stand to their feet because I really feel like we need to pray on this note. In this moment, I want you to just present yourself to God. Present yourself to God. So, Lord, here we are. We take your word very seriously. In 2018, you want us to hit the ground running. It's so easy to sleep among the dead. It's so easy to live like one who doesn't have the Spirit. But Lord, we live under our potential. Like Paul said, I insist in the Lord that you walk not as the Gentiles walk. You are calling all of us to a higher level. Galatians 5, that we would walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit. And Lord, this year we make a commitment to you. We will grow. We will mature. We will allow you to change us. Lord, we will do our spiritual disciplines, the things that we need to do to give you access to bring a transformation to our life. In just 2 weeks, Lord, we're going to be stepping over the threshold into a whole new era, a whole new year, 2018. It is a year of the new order. It is the year of the new beginning. It is the year of something fresh, something new. And Lord, we thank you for your word. It's prophetic to us. And Lord, we want to enter into that with the right attitude, the right heart, the right spirit. And Lord, we are going to grow. For those of us who are stuck, for those of us who have been disinterested, for those of us who have been just not really concerned or excited about growing spiritually, Lord, I pray that you would shift something on the inside of us, that we would desire you, to know you, to honor you, to live for you, that we would desire to grow in our full potential. Lord, that you would have your way in our life. Father, we thank you. Put your hand upon us even now. We want to grow. We want to mature. We want to be free. We want to be different at the end of 2018. Lord, you have great and mighty and big plans for all of us. But we must be committed to this process of spiritual and emotional growth. We want to grow, Lord. Even before New Year's Day, we say to you now, God, this will be a year of growth. This will be a year of spiritual development. This will be a year of getting into our process and staying into our process. This will be a year of changing the mind. This will be a year of renewing the mind. This will be a year of transformation for me. Take us all to another level, individually and corporately. Come, Holy Spirit, even now as we present ourselves to you as a willing sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, that we would be no longer conformed to this world, but that we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we would prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. We love you and we honor you and we praise you. Come on, lift up your hands just for a moment. Just say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I mean business with you. I want to be different. I want to be unstuck. I want to grow. I don't want to be carnal. I don't want to be immature. I want to grow unto a mature man and woman. Come, Holy Spirit. Stir me up. Move my heart. Begin to guide me and lead me into this spiritual growth and maturation, that I will never be the same again, never be the same again. And Lord, wake me up, wake up, wake up, thou that sleepest. Wake up, rise from among the dead now. Rise from among the dead now. And Christ will give you light. Christ will give you light, a light that is meant to shine to all the world to see. We bless you and worship you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Praise, praise God. Woo! I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking. Take that in Jesus' name. And listen, the three sheets are in the...